we saw that Jesus was up on the mountain. And when he came down from that mountain, he was transfigured, and the glory of Jesus was seen, and his mighty power was revealed, and the Peter and James and John that were there were just blown away by it. Of course, we saw that the Father made it clear it's Jesus that we're looking to, not Peter, not John, not James, it's not Elijah or not Moses, but Jesus is the one. He was transfigured. We saw the glory of Jesus Christ on that mountain. But you know, you're going to have mountaintop experiences in your life, times when God touches you in powerful ways, but then you're going to have to go down into the nitty-gritty. You're going to have to walk down into those valleys. You're going to have to go to places where things aren't easy, where there's deep trial and where there's trouble. Jesus had to lead that mountaintop experience where the Father spoke from heaven, where he had this conversation with Moses and Elijah. And when he was going back down the mountain, there's a tumult. There's a whole kind of shafrai going on down below. And when he gets down there, it says, when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and the scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, running to him and greeted him. Now, I just wonder when it says they were greatly amazed. I think there must have been some leftover residue of the glory of God that he had experienced on that mountaintop. But they all came running towards him. And when they came and they greeted him, he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" And one of the crowd said, "Teacher," this is a man in the crowd, answered and said, "Teacher, I brought my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they couldn't." Now, actually, when we look at all the Gospels, you find that there was a big argument actually going on between the scribes. And the scribes and the Pharisees were looking for some reason to discredit Jesus Christ. And here they had it. The apostles were there, the ones that had been left down below. God had given them a commission to go out and do miracles, to touch people's lives and to bring healing. But here they had a situation where this boy was completely, they couldn't do anything for him. They couldn't touch the situation. And so, of course, the scribes and the Pharisees, what were they going to do? They were going to accuse them and say, "Well, this is all a joke. This is not real." And so this big argument was going on, and the crowds were watching it, and they were saying, "Oh, well, what about this Jesus?" And so we had this man coming, and what he actually does is he brings his son. And so they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" He said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help him." So it's obvious that this boy had an epileptic seizures that he was having. But it was more than epileptic seizures. In some cases, people have epilepsy and they have epilepsy. But in other situations, there are demons that are involved. In this case, there were demons involved because it was not only having an epileptic seizure, but there was deliberate self-destruction where he threw himself into a fire, where he threw himself into the water to drown. And so there was obviously more than just epilepsy happening to this boy. So it was one thing to have that, but then to have this demonic influence in his life as well. And so he said, "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." So here's all the crowds are there, the Pharisees, all the religious rulers who were trying to discredit Christ. And then there's this man with his son who's broken over his son and who went to the apostles with the disciples looking for some hope and some help. They couldn't do anything with it. And so I'm sure you can imagine the amount of despair that he had. And suddenly Jesus shows up. So all of a sudden there's still a glimmer of hope. There's still a possibility that something can be done. So he comes running to Jesus and asks, "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." So now he gives him a statement, and it's a statement that we do well to stop and consider here. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So Jesus challenges him to have faith. And he does. In the Word of God, we are challenged to have faith. It's just sometimes we don't understand quite what faith is. It seems like an ambiguous word sometimes in our culture today, especially, as I said earlier, people are saying, well, you just got to believe, you just got to believe. But Jesus wasn't saying you just got to believe in yourself, or you just got to have this confidence, just to try to have a lot of confidence. Oh, I believe, believe, believe. Listen, the word believe means to depend on. The word believe means to trust. It means to rely upon. It's not a vague word. It's a powerful word when we understand what it means. And in our culture today, sometimes the word believe doesn't mean anything at all. You know, the Bible actually says that if you believe in God, you do well. So the devil believes and he trembles. Lots of people have the faith the devil has. And the faith the devil has is simply, I know that he's there. I know it's true. Do you think the devil knows that Jesus died on the cross? Do you think he does? Of course he knows he died on the cross. Do you think that Jesus knows that he's the Son of God? Of course he knows he's the Son of God. Do you think he knows that he did all the miracles? Of course he knows that all those things are true. And you can know all those things are true and still not be saved. Because you're not really believing. Because belief means to put your trust in. If you can put your trust in me, all things are possible. If you can depend on me. Because then it's not the person that's doing that, putting the faith in it, that's accomplishing anything. It's the one that you're putting the faith in. It's Jesus himself. He's the foundation. He's the rock. He's the Almighty One. We are those, when we depend on Christ, when we rely on him, then he works mightily. Like the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, I am striving, he says, but I'm striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. It's the power of God. So this depending and this believing, sometimes we take it out of context. It's not me working up energy to believe. It's me trusting and depending in God. Hudson Taylor, who was a missionary in China, was once, somebody came to him and said to him, oh, you must be a man of great faith. He said, no, I'm a man of little faith in a great God. It's the God that makes faith possible. It's Jesus that makes faith possible. So our focus is not so much on the faith, but it's on the person whom we put our faith into. Faith is a means. It's not the end. Jesus is the end. Not only the end, but he's also the beginning too. So what does the man say? What is his answer? Immediately the father of the child cried out. There's honesty here, friends. He cries out with tears. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. What a statement that is. It's a statement of honesty. He didn't say, Lord, I'm believing as hard as I can. I really... No, he knew that even for him to have faith, that he needed God's help for that. He knew that faith comes from God. It doesn't come from us. We're not the originator of faith. Even that we need God for. Even there, in all of his weakness. And he acknowledged that he had unbelief. You say, well, if he acknowledged he had unbelief, he's never going to get a miracle because he's not believing strong enough. Wouldn't that be the logic of it? But it's not the case. Because he said, Lord, I believe. Lord, I'm trusting. As much as I can, as much as I know, I'm trusting you right now, Lord. But Lord, you're going to have to help me for where I can't, where I'm not. Oh, friends, God understands our weaknesses. And he understands our struggles. And he understands how broken we are at times. And he understands how we can sometimes can't see past a particular situation. So what can I do? I can cry out to him, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Remember what Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew. It actually says that in this passage, he speaks about if you believe, you can say to this mountain, be cast into the sea and it will go. And so it isn't the amount of faith that we have, but it's taking the little bit of faith that we have and putting it in Jesus Christ. It's taking that trembling step. And you can just see this man trembling, crying, coming before him, broken. Had tried everything else, even the disciples who had been commissioned by God. And yet, they couldn't get it done. So here he is, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And what did Jesus say? Ah, you got unbelief, go away. Come back another day when you can believe stronger. Is that what he said? Oh, absolutely not. Immediately when Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to a deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, came out of him, he became as one dead. So many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Jesus touched that boy. He didn't say to him, because you don't have a lot of faith. And actually, in one of the other Gospels, he actually said to the crowd, he said, oh, you faithless generation. He actually rebuked the crowd and the disciples as well for their unbelief. But here's a man who acknowledges his unbelief, and Jesus blesses him. Something, eh? So listen, faith is not trying to drum up enough to try and believe something. It's not your energy moving to make something happen. Faith is you so giving yourself away in dependence and leaning on Jesus Christ to do something for someone, for the circumstance, whatever it is. It's trusting God. It's trusting Him. And He is faithful. And that's the good news. Our faith comes from His faithfulness. Isn't that good news? Oh, it's good news for me, I can tell you. Because does unbelief rise up in my heart sometimes? Absolutely it does. Does it grip my soul sometimes? Yes, it does. But underneath all of that, I know one thing. God is faithful. And because of that, because if He is faithful, I can come to Him even with my unbelief and discover that He can take that and He can change it and He can give me faith. And that faith can grow. And faith grows in one respect. It grows with usage in this respect. As I trust God, as I find Him faithful yesterday, then I discover, well, if He was faithful yesterday, He'll be faithful today. And I see God working, and I see God working, so my faith begins to grow. So I'm saying, take the little bit of faith you have and put it in Christ, but expect it to grow as you do that. Expect faith to begin to grow in your life so that you can trust God for more. You know, I've used that illustration before, and I'm almost out of time here, but I've used that illustration before where if you're going on an airplane, if you've never went on a plane before, you're terrified, you go on, you've had enough faith to get on the plane, and that's enough to get you to your destination, right? It'll get you there. If you've just had that little bit of faith to get on the plane, you might be gripping the rails the whole time, and you're just terrified looking around. But if somebody else, they've flown a few times, they're not too bad, as long as they don't look at you. You know, they look at you, then they go, then they look over at another guy. He flies every day. So the guy who flies every day, he has learned that the pilot and the planes are faithful, generally, okay? You know, there's always the exception to the rule. But he has learned that they're faithful. So that what happens, he begins to have a confidence, and his faith is growing. So that when he gets on the plane, he gets on there and he goes to sleep. But the first time, what was that? Right? Why? Because you only take, but nevertheless, the guy who had all that faith, who knows that the plane's going to get there, is he going to land an hour earlier than the fellow that was shaking in his boots? No. Absolutely not. Little faith will still get you there. But you may not enjoy the ride quite as much. So as faith grows, you begin to enjoy the ride a little bit more. Because then when the deep valleys come, then when the trials come, when the walls come against you, I've been here before. And God's got me through. I don't know how He's going to get me through this one. But now I know He can do this. He can do it. So praise God that He is so full of mercy and so full of grace that He meets us with our little faith. Because if He didn't meet us with our little faith, we'd never get to great faith. Isn't God good? Doesn't he show us His ways here? Well, I got to finish up with this little passage here. When He came into His house, His disciples asked Him privately, how come we couldn't cast them out? Right? I mean, they had been sent, commissioned by God. They had actually seen God do the miraculous. And now, they were faced with a situation where they couldn't do it. Why couldn't we do it? And He had an answer for them. He said to them, this kind can come out only by nothing but prayer and fasting. He gives us a little bit of a revelation here. He said, and He shows them something, and here's where the key of this is. And it comes back to what we've already been talking about. You know, you could be out doing wonderful things, and you can get to the point where, hey, this works. It works. I prayed for that person, and they were blessed. They were transformed. Wow. So you come on to the next one. Huh? Happened again. Woo! Yeah, bring it on, guys, bring it on. And then all of a sudden, boom, nothing. Why? Lost connection. Lost connection. You will always find yourself stretched to a point where you can't. Thank God for the you can'ts. Because then it turns you back to God. It turns you to the place of real prayer. It turns you to the place of real dependence. Remember? Faith. It turns you to the place where, ooh, I can't. I can remember one time, I was a Christian for quite a while, preaching for quite a while. But anyway, I was preaching in another province. And I was visiting with this guy, and I was exhausted. I had been visiting all day and then preaching in the evenings. And we had done 1 week of meetings. And then the Lord prompted me to stay for another week. And I said, okay, God, if that's what you want, then you have them ask me, the leadership in the church, ask me. And that's exactly what they did. So I says, okay. So I didn't have any sermons prepared. I don't usually have much prepared anyway, but I didn't have any sermons prepared, not on paper. But anyway, I was there, and we had visited all day, and I had not a clue what I was going to preach on. And I told the other pastor, I says, I don't have a clue what I'm doing tonight. But I said, I'm so exhausted, I'm going to go lay down. So I went and laid down, and as soon as I went to sleep, I was preaching a sermon. So I got up, I woke up about 3/4 of an hour later, and I says, well, the Lord's given me a passage, and I said, I just preached it, and I'm going to go preach it again. Because I preached a sermon in my sleep. So I went, and I preached it that night, and the Lord moved. He did move. He moved in power. People got saved, and there was a touch of God in the place. You could sense the presence of God. A few weeks later, I was back, and I was in Marigree, and I was going to preach, and I says, oh, well, hey, the Lord used that sermon there. Boy, I'm going to do that one here. Huh? Boy, you talk about a dud. Talk about a flat time. And I knew it the whole time I was speaking. It was like, it was just falling to the ground. Why was that? The sermon worked so well over there. How come it didn't work so well over here? Because I was trusting in what? I was trusting in myself. I was trusting in the sermon. I wasn't trusting in God. God has a right word at a right time in a right place, and that's the way He works. He's the guy in charge. So it's dependence on God. It's not dependence on what I do. It's dependence on what He does. And somehow the disciples in this circumstance didn't realize, I got to go deeper with God. I'm in a situation where I got to go deeper with God. I was preaching at a camp one time, and I'll tell you, I had never been dealt with such a rowdy bunch. These guys came to the camp to do mischief. They broke into the canteen, and they ripped everything off of the canteen one night. The next day, the director of the camp came out, and the car was completely written over with markers, indelible markers. They were violent. When I got up to speak to them, they cursed at me every which way they could. If we had followed any of the rules of camp, I would have sent them all home and said, okay, that's it, you're done. And they cursed all the way through my preaching. And these were teenagers from 15 to 19 years old. And I knew it was a rough crowd. I knew this was going to be like a stretcher, all right. But I was just, you know, speaking to them. And I let them do what they were doing. I just kept sharing the gospel with them. But after the second day of that, I fell on my knees. And I said, Jesus, I can't do this. You've got to do something here. I said, what needs to be done, Lord? And you know what? A verse came so clear into my mind, as clear as crystal. This kind cannot come out but by prayer and fasting. So you guess what I was doing? I was praying. I was calling out to God. And as I called out to God, I said, Lord, you're the one that's got to make a change here. I can't do this. And I'll tell you what, friends, the sooner we begin to learn this in all of our life, in every circumstance in your life, you can't do this. And God will bring you to the impossible. He will bring you to the mountains. He will bring you to the walls that cannot come down unless God brings them down. And that means we got to get on our knees and seek God. When you see fasting, some people make it into something that it's not. Fasting is simply putting aside other things, like food or whatever it might be, so that you spend more time praying. Fasting is always associated with prayer. It's always associated with putting away other things so that your focus is on God and God alone, so that you might seek His face. And the Lord broke through in power in that crazy camp. And some of these people got saved. But I'll tell you, it was amazing to see what God did. And it's always what God does. How come we couldn't cast them out? They said, we can't do anything. It's not us that cast out. Ultimately, it's got to be the power of God. But I believe in the power of Jesus Christ. And with the little bit of faith I have, I tell you, my faith isn't all that strong. But that's okay. I have a strong God. And I'm trusting Him. And I want to encourage you to trust Him. Trust Him with your loved ones. Cry out to God for them. Bring them before the Lord in prayer. And there may be times when God will say, set aside everything else and pray this one through. Do that. Seek His face. And as you do, you will see God work. Amen. Praise His name. Yes, you're going to come up against circumstances, but we have an awesome God who can go through. He can move the mountains. He can cause a mountain to become a plain. He can do whatever needs to be done in the life of anybody that we bring to Him. Father, we pray that You will bless us even the rest of this day. And God, that You would, Lord, help our unbelief. That, Lord, we would have a greater vision of who You are. We would understand that this God who is on the mountain is still God in the valley. And that You're more than able to accomplish all that concerns us, oh God. And that, Lord, we can have a faith that's growing as we put our faith and hope and trust in You. And Father, as we go deeper, we will find mountains even higher. But we thank You, Lord. There is no one higher than You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for Your presence with us this morning. Thank You for Your calling in our lives. And we thank You, Father, that we can celebrate together that we have a wonderful Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ. And my Father, I pray for anyone here who has not trusted in Christ that they would see. They would, Lord, take that little mustard seed of faith and get on the plane. Get on with Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord and be saved. We cry out for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll mention, as I often do, if you want to speak to me afterwards, I'll be here. If you have a problem in your life you need prayer for, come and we will pray together. And if you're not saved, you can be saved this very day, because that's what Jesus does. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Bless our food, Lord, and bless our fellowship together in Jesus' name. Please stay together for lunch. We're so glad to have you. Give you an opportunity to mix and mingle. And there's always all kinds of food. The Lord supplies. Amen.